And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My next guest is the son of Eleanor Powell and Glenn Ford. We'll discuss his new biography of his father's life and what it was like growing up with Hollywood royalty from his book, Glenn Ford, A Life. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Peter Ford had the good fortune of being the only child of two of Hollywood's most renowned stars, Eleanor Powell, one of MGM's greatest musical stars, and Glenn Ford, Hollywood's number one box office star of the year 1958. Eleanor Powell gave up her career to take on the role of wife and mother at the age of 33, giving up her career to be married to a lesser-known actor by the name of Glenn Ford. And that had studio moguls and fans in an uproar. It wasn't until 1946 that the public really grew to know Glenn Ford, because that was the year that Gilda was released, starring Glenn Ford and Rita Hayworth. Glenn Ford became a star overnight. Peter was born in Los Angeles, California in 1945. He led a childhood of what you would call privilege and opportunity. Pearl Bailey is Peter's godmother. Bill Bojangles Robinson is his godfather. In a footnote to rock and roll history, Peter's responsible for Bill Haley and the Comets song Rock Around the Clock being used as the theme song for his father's film Blackboard Jungle in 1955. Peter graduated from Chadwick High School in Palos Verdes, California. He also went to school at USC. In 1968, he graduated cum laude with a BA degree in English. He was accepted at USC Law School, but he chose to continue working as an actor and as a singer. Peter met his wife Linda at USC. Linda went on to receive her master's in education and became an elementary public school teacher. Peter and Linda have been married for more than 14 years. Peter hosted the popular weekly nighttime political talk show on KIEV for 3 years, and just recently he was elected to the LA Republican Central Committee's 42nd Assembly District. That was back in 2010. Today he serves as the second vice chair of the Republican Party for Los Angeles County. Joining us from LA County, how are you today, Peter?
I'm fine. I think there's nothing more to say.
Oh, I don't think we've even touched the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, well, it is, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot to say there. Now,
I've been busy.
Yes, you have, and so have your parents. You do come from Hollywood royalty, as I said, in the setup. Your father starred in over 100 films. You were actually had roles in several films with him. I found it interesting. I didn't realize this until I did the math. Your father's career went over 70 years.
Yes, it was amazing. He worked, you're right, over seven decades. He made his first real movie in 1939 and his last in 1991. He was in a short subject at Paramount in 1937, but that was his first time actually on film. But he co-starred in a film in 1939 for 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, what made your father interesting is he portrayed an ordinary man placed into really extraordinary circumstances. And I think maybe that's why moviegoers really identified with him. However, off screen, your father was a very different man. You describe him as driven, dedicated. Of course, he had the four failed marriages. And he really had an inability to get close to the people who were really closest to him. So describe your father both on and off the screen for my listeners.
Well, I think for me personally, Bill, and your listeners to know, he had a persona, I think, on film of being like an everyman. And but he was conflicted. He had some dark elements in his life, and I think he was, as we all hope to find, and you had mentioned I've been married. It's 41 years now, so
I think it's
14. So I just, but unlike me, who's been happily married for so long, he never found love, and I think he was looking for that. And unfortunately, he was either so busy or myopic or something. When he finally found what could have been a wonderful relationship, he didn't take the time to develop it, and he moved on to someone else, and he had many, many, many relationships, and I don't get into all of that in the book because I wanted to honor him as a great actor, but he he was a player, no doubt about it.
He was a player. And it's very interesting to hear a son talk about his father in those terms, even the terms conflicted, dark elements in his personality. So I guess my question is, as you were growing up, when did you first, as a young man, identify that your father had these dark elements? And what did that mean to you when you first identified it?
Well, without getting too much into the weeds, and I don't do this too much in the book, but I guess in a short explanation, my mother doted on me and loved me unequivocally. I mean, I was like the little cherub, the little prince in her life and in the home, as far as my mother was concerned. But unfortunately, she spent too much time doting on me, her only child, and my father became very jealous, and I don't know if that's what turned him to other relationships with other women, but it was a living hell for me, though, because the more she loved me, the more he got resentful, and I was caught like in a vice between the two of them, and he did not treat me necessarily that well. And we don't have enough time to get into the details of that, but he was not a good dad. But you know what, Bill, I came to terms with that when I was about 16, when, you know, once again, he promised me he'd be at my high, well, not that promised me to be at my high school graduation, but he had promised me many things over the years and nothing ever happened. They never were fulfilled. And so I said, you know what, I'm never going to have this dad that I want. And I think every kid wants to have his dad to be his hero. And I said, so either I'm going to either have to get over this or something desperate's going to happen, and I just decided to become a fan, and I became a big fan of his, and I just said he's not really the dad that I had hoped to have, and you know, as I travel around with this book, I think a lot of guys experience this with their fathers. I'm not alone, but you know, he worked very hard. He'd go to the studio every morning when he worked, and he worked a lot. Early, and he'd come home late, and he was tired, and he, as I say, he was a consummate actor, and he gave everything to his craft. So when he came home, he didn't have time for his family, and so that was my loss, but he gave a tremendous amount of happiness to millions of people. Unfortunately, it wasn't necessarily for me his only child, but you know, I celebrate what I can, and that's what I've done in this book.
Well, that is great. My guest is Peter Ford, author of the new biography, Glenn Ford, A Life. And, Peter, your father wasn't always Glenn Ford. I mean, that's not his given surname. It was something different. Give us a little bit of idea of first of all, your family history, because your father moved from Canada. Give us a little bit of the background of the family, at least on your father's side.
Yes, well, he was born in Canada in 1916 in Quebec City, and he was Gwillem. That was his birth name, Gwillem Ford, and we have a lot of Welsh history in our family. And Gwillem, I understand, is William in Welsh. And but when he came to Hollywood, he immigrated from Canada with his mother and father. Again, he was an only child as well, and my mother was an only child, so we're a bunch of only children over here. But at any rate, he came to California in 1922 and came to Venice, California, and eventually moved up to Santa Monica. And went to Samuel High and graduated there, you know, got lucky. He worked very hard as an actor in all kinds of plays and things. But he got his first break again in that Paramount short in 1937, and then got signed by Fox, and then was picked up in 1940 by Columbia, Harry Cohen, and that's where he made his career. And as you mentioned, his breakout film was Gilda with Rita, who was a dear, dear friend of our family. And so, but it was interesting growing up in those days, Bill, with, you know, Charlie Chaplin was my next door neighbor, and David O. Selznick lived across the street. James Mason was my babysitter, and on and on and on.
Well, let's talk about that if we can, Peter, and let's pick up on Charlie Chaplin, because everybody remembers him as a little tramp, very entertaining, but for you, he was persona non grata. Why?
Yeah, you're not kidding. I hated that guy. He killed my dog. He didn't mean to. Bill, my German Shepherd, he was a frisky puppy, and he was chasing cars up and down our street all the time, and unfortunately, he got caught up in Charlie's tires one day, and he was killed. But I, you know, we lived in a rural part of Beverly Hills then. Now it's all built up here now. But I didn't have any neighbors, and I didn't really have any friends up where we lived, and in the mountains. And Bill was like my brother, and so when Charlie killed Bill, I was just devastated. But it was a funny story. He went to England in 1953 for the premiere of Limelight, and he had some issues with the government. You know, he was a pro-communist guy, and he'd been arrested for the Mann Act, which is transporting underage females across state lines. So Charlie had a little bit of history of not being necessarily this wonderful guy. But anyway, when he was not allowed back in the country, my parents told me that it was because he killed Bill. So I had some closure at that point that, you know. So I'm a Buster Keaton fan today. You know, I can't really watch a Charlie Chaplin movie still. So it's imprinted on me. What can I tell you?
Well, my guest is Peter Ford, author of the new biography, Glenn Ford, A Life. Peter, you really did grow up in Hollywood's golden age, and the studio system really started to collapse, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But give us an idea of what it was like. I mean, I love the story when your parents, you were about 5 years old, and your parents wanted you to take swimming lessons.
Yeah.
So what did they do in order to facilitate swimming lessons or even golf and tennis lessons?
Yeah, well, they built an Olympic-sized swimming pool in the backyard. And my dad was a top money maker back in those days. This is in the late 40s and 50s. And so I guess money was no object. And when little Petey wanted to have a pool, they built this mammoth pool. And my mom had known Johnny Weissmuller from her days back in Atlantic City when she was dancing. He was a lifeguard then, before his career in the Olympics, or certainly before his film career. And Johnny came over and gave me swimming lessons. So I had Tarzan as my swimming coach. And when Dad made a film in 1950 called Follow the Sun, the story of Ben Hogan, 20th Century Fox engaged Ben to come to California. And he basically was at our house for about 3 weeks. Didn't live there, but he was there every day. They built a big cage in the backyard, and my father was Ben was teaching my dad how to play golf. I can't tell you that, you know, I learned much, but I do have pictures of me with Ben Hogan standing over me, you know, with me with little golf clubs in my hand. But so it was a very interesting, you know, I just knew all those people, all of the great vaudevillians came to the house, Jack Benny and Eddie Cantor and Sophie Tucker and Al Jolson that my mom knew, and then through Dad, you know, in the film business, Barbara Stanwyck and Lana Turner and Clark Gable, and, you know, it was a storied life. And let's don't forget, give the book cider. May I stick that in?
Sure, sure.
Okay, if anybody wants to see about or hear about the book or read about the book, it's www.glennfordbio.com. I wanted to make sure people knew, because there's a lot of interesting anecdotal stuff there. So it's glennfordbio.com, mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that the book is doing well, and took me 7 years to write, but it's done now and it's out.
It's a labor of love. That's true. My guest is Peter Ford. So Peter, I mentioned it just earlier, setting up that last question, that your father was part of the studio system in Hollywood.
Yep.
And he had kind of a unique perspective, because he watched the decline of the studio system throughout his career. In what ways did your father's career benefit from the demise of the studio city? And did he ever comment on the death of the studio system?
Well, yeah, he never commented, but I'll tell you, he was a beneficiary of it. He was never one, Bill, to want to take a chance. He always played it safe, because his family back in Canada, my grandfather was a railroad engineer on the Canadian Pacific Railroad, and they didn't have a lot of money. When they moved here to California, the big event in my dad's life was getting a fruit brass basket at Christmas, and he and my grandfather would go down to the Venice Pier and scrape the mussels off of the pilings and try and catch a halibut, because they really couldn't afford meat. So of course, when Harry Cohen put my dad under contract for two successive seven-year contracts, he was quite comfortable there. And unfortunately, on the downside of that, Harry put him in a bunch of, you know, tripe. He didn't make the greatest films, and Harry was too cheap to hire, you know, the great directors. Probably Frank Capra is the only one of note who was there at Columbia. So my dad missed an opportunity to really, you know, be schooled by some great great directors, and I think that his career suffered. But on the other hand, he had a paycheck, and that's really all he cared about, and that was the driving force for him. But you're right, the studio system collapsed in the late 50s, but it was a great system, really, for bringing up young talent and training them, and you know, they put you in little roles in films, and you brought you along, and it was a great system. Today, it's all business, and corporations own, you know, Sony now owns Columbia, and Warner Brothers owns MGM, so it's all changed.
It certainly has. It's what I would call free agent nation. My guest is Peter Ford. Now, Peter, your father starred in so many movies, like we said at the setup, 100. Some of the more memorable ones include Gilda, Blackboard Jungle, 310 to Yuma, which was recently remade, and The Courtship of Eddie's Father, just to name a few. Which movie or movies did your father find that he was most proud of making?
Well, I think anything he did with Rita Hayworth, he loved Rita. I mean, literally and factually. But, you know, I think Gilda, actually, he did a little Western at MGM that he really liked with Henry Fonda. It's kind of a sleeper. I would encourage people to find it and try and watch it. It's a sweet little film called The Rounders. But he liked his favorite type of film, and he did everything from noir to drama to comedy was, you know, he just loved the Westerns. And I think 310 to Yuma and another film he made at Columbia for Delmer Daves called Cowboy with Jack Lemmon. I mean, he loved the Westerns because he wasn't really big on dialogue. He felt movies talk too much, and he loved the Westerns because, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue. Not that he was lazy. I mean, he could, you know, he could learn his lines, but he just thought it wasn't as entertaining as action film. So, but you know, he had a long career. I think young people would know him also from a small role he had in the film Superman, where he played Jonathan Kent, who was Superman's Earth father when Superman came from you know, from Kryptonite or Krypton or whatever that place was, and he landed in a field, and my dad had a small role in that film. But he could do it all.
He certainly could. My guest is Peter Ford, author of the new biography, Glenn Ford, A Life. Peter, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Glenn Ford?
Well, I think it's a history of the golden age of Hollywood. I think on a personal level, I think for those you know, guys out there especially who didn't have the greatest relationship with their dad, and maybe they're bitter, maybe in reading my book they would understand that, you know, there's good as well as the angst and pain. So, but I think it's a story of Hollywood. It's a whole new look at my father for those who know who he is. And there's never been anything written about him, anything, a film, love, book, or nothing. So I felt that I owed it to him to do. And I just, again, as I say, Bill, I wanted to honor him, but yet wanted to tell the truth.
Well, that's important. Now, Peter, if people are interested by what you have to say, they're intrigued by the book, maybe they want to give it as a Christmas present, where would you direct them to go on the Internet again?
Well, I would say to go to my site. I mean, there's an Amazon link. You can get it there, certainly inexpensively. But I also offer it, and you'll see that on the site on the homepage. If they send me a PayPal payment or a check, I can inscribe it to the person. And if they don't get it by Christmas, there's always just the joy of giving, you know. So, and Father's Day is coming up next June. So I would say that the glennfordbio.com site would be a good place because everything is there for them to choose from.
Glenn Ford Bio, that's glennfordbio.com. Peter, it has been a delight. Thank you for sharing some of your family history with my listeners here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care.